Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here with my co-host Matt Barrows. 49ers Plus Minus, reviewing one of the bleaker moments in the Kyle Shanahan era. I gotta believe at least that first half was. Neither one of us was there. I want to point that out there. But we were both watching closely. Barrows watched all the interviews. I only saw some of them. I don't know that there really was going to be much glean from the post-game stuff. That first half was bad, Barrow. So it was really, it felt like a pre-Shanahan, maybe first year Shanahan. I really felt that. I don't think 2020, which was obviously a terrible season, felt like that. Just your reactions to the first half and maybe to the result all around 38-10 loss to the Packers, third loss by points in the Shanahan era.
Yeah, I mean, you would have expected a sense of urgency with this team. You and I talked about it midweek. This was, you know, this is the bewitching hour. This is when the season is either going to be salvaged or it's going to go down the tubes. And you would think that despite all the missing pieces in this game, that you would have at least the energy, the fight would be there. And it showed up, but it showed up a quarter and a half too late. And by that time, the 49ers were down 17 to nothing. They couldn't tackle. They could barely, operate an offensive play. I mean, it was Keystone Cops there on both sides of the ball. What I wrote about today was that there was only one real competition in this game, and it was which was worse, the 49ers offense or the 49ers defense?
Yeah.
And that was a barn burner. I mean, it was just a real disappointment, and you and I have been pointing at that all season long. The championship spirit that we were seeing last year just hasn't been there. They just can't summon it. They can't find it. And it was really evident at the beginning of that game.
You should point out, no Brock Purdy, Brandon Allen's starting quarterback, very limited. He's not a bad thrower of the ball, but he cannot move. And he had a broken finger on his left hand, non-throwing.
Left hand, yeah.
Yeah, and still, maybe the ball bobbling around his hands, that finger had something to do with it. No Nick Bosa, obviously they felt that on defense. No Trent Williams, so maybe some of the Brandon Allen uncomfortableness was a result of that. I just thought they'd look better to start the game. I just thought Shanahan, okay, you know what? I got my system. I got my guys. Win with me for 2 years. I'm going to have something dialed up and at least early show something, and then maybe it crumbles late. This was kind of the opposite. Like, they looked horrendous to start the game. Now, Shanahan noted, and he's correct, there were two penalties early on. Pooney, both of them, that screwed him up because they had first play was 9-yard pass to Kittle, second and one, and all of a sudden it's second and six. You know, this is what a limited offense cannot deal with. And I actually thought the defense was good in the second half. It was terrible. Josh Jacobs just ran over them, ran through them, ran around them. They had no answer. That Jordan Love did not have to do much. Hit a couple nice passes, but that's it. By the way, the 49ers actually had a better yards per play. 5.1 than the Eagles. No, that would be the, I'm watching the another game here, than the Packers, 4.9. Foreigners made big play. Like, they got a big Kittle play here and there. They had some decent gains, but then they couldn't get consistent with it. They couldn't capitalize on it because they couldn't pile up first down. 11 first downs, lowest, tied for lowest in the Shanahan era. The same number as they had when they had no quarterback in the second half in the NFC Championship game in January 2023. It's like the same number, 11 first downs. They just could not do anything consistent, couldn't put it together. I actually think the defense is better than the offense because the defense, you know, I took it as I'm looking ahead to 2025 now. I can't look about this season. Maybe they get on a run, you know, 5-1 gets them, you know, to 10-7 and bad tiebreakers, but maybe that gives them a shot. But that means they have to play better than they've played so far. And what's, there's no sign of that, that they're going to be 5-1 down the backstretch. They've only won two games in a row once, and that's it. But I thought Sorensen showed me something. Whatever they did, however they did it, I thought Sorensen, like, there were some adjustments. I have not felt that this year. There were some adjustments. They got better as the game went along. And that's a good offense. The Packers are a good offense. And of course, they dropped a touchdown in the end of the first half. But I thought I saw some things. If you're going to show anything, I thought the defense showed some things.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the 49ers stick with Nick Sorensen next year because there might be some candidates that they like better. But I don't think that this game was Nick Sorensen, you know, wasn't obvious like last year's was, that the defensive coordinator was the problem. Shanahan did talk about being out of the wrong gaps early in the game, but they obviously did make those adjustments. They were also playing without Nick Bosa, without Javon Hargrave, and then without Jordan Elliott, who's their sort of their big body run stuffer. Elliott suffered a concussion early in the game. So, you know, they're playing the full game. I can't wait for the snap counts to come out because Sam Okwuonu, we've talked about a lot, a guy who's sort of a developmental player, a guy I think that they should try to develop. He started the game and played a huge, huge chunk of the game. I wonder what the final number is. Did he play 75% of the snaps? If he did, I mean, it just kind of shows where that line was. I was a bit dismayed. I didn't see Yetur Gross-Matos, one of their big free agent signings, for the first 10 plays of the game. And I know he's coming back from injury, but I thought that was last game where he sort of was eased back into the picture there. So, it was sort of a really – probably the worst defensive lineup that they've had since very early on in the Shanahan regime. Well, you know, what struck me is that this is a team with eight team captains, and three of them were not playing today. That's Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, and Trent Williams. They got a really good performance from one of those eight captains. That's George Kittle, who I think led all pass catchers with 82 yards. And then everybody else sort of absent. Debo Samuel, another just anonymous game. And beyond that, he had two balls go through his hands, one of which turned into an interception. And I realized he had the long kick return, and that was called back by a dubious penalty on my guy, Eric Sauber.
Not a great game for your guy.
I want that on the record.
Not a great game for 82. Not a great game for Barrows' guy.
He had a pancake block that the poor guy got called for holding on. That was terrible by the officials. And then the other guy who just hasn't shown up like we expect him to is McCaffrey. I mean, another very middling game from the running attack and from McCaffrey, who also had a turnover, a fumble at the end there. Didn't really have any bearing on the game, but I think that this team was thinking, okay, we're sort of a middle of the road team at midseason. Once we get Christian McCaffrey back, look out, it's going to be a rocket ship, and we're going to ride him into a groove and into the playoffs. And boy, that just hasn't happened. Two of their worst rushing performances this year have come in the last 3 weeks with McCaffrey in the backfield. So, you know, this idea that they were going to have a savior come in at the end, I think we could put that to rest.
He did have one really explosive play, Barros. It was the one that he fumbled on at the very end. He looked like his old self there till at the very end. That was a great poke out by the defensive back. But he did look good there, and he looked like he had a little more juice in his legs. It just they weren't going anywhere. They don't do, you know, as I said, they don't do that early down past him, except for the one again that he broke. And maybe that was Brandon Allen. I don't know. I myself threw out there that I thought Josh Jobs might have been interesting in this game. Clearly not the Shanahan choice. He's not. He said it was a competition in preseason. I don't think it really was. Brandon Allen's a quarterback. He knows. They have not moved that depth chart one bit all season without even a thought. And Shanahan a little defensive about it, frankly, probably about a month ago. And Allen can throw the ball. Like we know the coaches say, what they constantly tell the broadcasters, what a great arm he has, but he cannot move his feet. The ball slips out of his hands, got a broken finger. I thought Josh, you know, I'm not saying they would have won the game with Josh Dobbs. I think it would have been interesting. I think if Purdy's got to miss another game and it's going to be a tough one in Buffalo, I think Dobbs could get some time. I think Jordan Mason could get some time. And maybe in another way, I think they just make this a break year for McCaffrey. I know Christian would be really mad for me saying this because he wants to play every down. He touched the ball over 400 times in the regular season and postseason last year. Like, that's a lot. And you got to believe some of that had something to do with him missing the first eight games this season. Some of it has to do with his sluggishness. It's tough for running backs, you know, and he's going to turn 29 next June. Give him kind of a break year like he had. You know, he got hurt those 2 years in Carolina, but he didn't have the wear and tear either. And he's a rocket ship at age 27. I think it wouldn't be terrible just to cut his workload down. Don't give up on the season. They hate that. They can't do that. But Jordan Mason's right there and picking up 5 yards a carry. And the fans have been clamoring for that, and I think overly done, because you had to see if Christian McCaffrey could save your season. Like, you had to see. He has not done that. He was not going to do that. They're probably going to lose in Buffalo. At that point, they'll still be mathematically alive, but it's going to look super bleak. Jordan Mason, get him in there, and maybe, like, one, you show Jordan Mason's got some value and he's your true backup next season, or you trade him, or, like, you just save miles from Christian McCaffrey's tires. I just think that's pretty obvious right now.
Yeah, two things stood out about last offseason. One was that Christian McCaffrey was involved. He was involved in the spring. He had a really good offseason. And hit the ground running when the regular season began. Brandon Ayuk had an even better offseason than McCaffrey did, hit the ground running. The story of this year was written in the offseason. I mean, think of all the guys who didn't take part. Think of all the guys who had, you know, needed to get their contracts done, things like that. It's no surprise that this team got off to a disjointed start in hindsight. I always thought that they would somehow catch fire at some point. There was just too much talent not to. But the fact that they got off to a slow start was not a surprise. The surprise to me is that that slow start has continued almost into December right now. And I think you're right about McCaffrey. And I think that he's a microcosm of this team. They talked about it on the broadcast. By the way, I thought that this was the best Tom Brady.
Brady was good
in this game. And I guess we should give him the benefit of, a full season getting into it. Because
the Nick Sorensen treatment.
Exactly. But my point is that, you know, they made the point that this is a team that basically has played the equivalent of a full season in their postseasons, and they look like it. Like we said early on in this podcast, there was no energy, there was no urgency, there was no sharpness at the start of this game. And this is a veteran team that has shown that in the past. The only real explanation for that is that they're just ground down. They just don't have it. So
physically and mentally, I think both.
Yeah, they're one and the same, really. So, you know, a full January or most of January to recover, a full February to recover, I think would do wonders for the 49ers. They also are going to have a pretty good draft pick. Not great, as you pointed out on Twitter during the game, but better than they've had in recent years.
It's, they're slotted at 16 now. I looked it up yet. Moved up two slots. There's a ton of crappy teams ahead of them. I don't know how high they can get. I don't think they can get top 10 or 11. But you can get 14. That's not terrible.
Can you get a tackle? I mean, this is a team that likes using a top 10 pick on a tackle. Can you get? Can you finally find a tackle that you don't kind of look down your nose at, which is the 49ers MO? Can you find it at 16, or do they have to kind of trade up to, you know, 10, 12 to find that guy?
One thing, I don't think they're going to have a really bad negotiation situation since most of those guys are signed now. You know, they've got Brock Purdy. We know that one. Can they get, they better get that done fast. Like, that better be one of those that by April he's signed. I think they have every motivation to do it that way. I think
I personally am hoping for a February signing.
Just get it all
off the table.
Then they've got Dre Greenlaw, Aaron Banks. They got others, but like, you know, getting Lenore done. Like, Lenore was the one that could have got dodgy. I think a player they absolutely need, a young player, part of their next foundation. And who knows what that number could have been. They got that done. I don't think the Purdy thing is going to get – if that gets ugly, the whole thing, burn the whole thing down. It's not happening. But I'm sure they never want another Ayuk. I think if they go back in time, they would have traded Ayuk. And I bet you they wish they could trade him right now. Yeah. I think that was terrible. And the lingering effects of that. Now, he's hurt. He can't do anything to make the team feel better about him. But I think that – or people there are still pissed off at him. Like, really, like, if they knew he was going to act like that, they would not want him on the team anymore. And I think there are people on the 49ers, I'll just say front office, coach staff, whatever, the general, who do not want Brandon Ayuk on this team anymore if they could have done it that way. That's how bad that was. But we all felt it, right? It was all happening. It's like, this is a weird thing that going on. Debo wasn't that weird. Debo was like, he's going to do his thing, and then he signed. Ayuk really was a bad. I don't want to blame it on him. He's negotiating himself. You get what you negotiate for. I just think if they could go back in time, they would not want Brandon Ayuk on the team if they knew going in it was going
to
be.
They tried to trade him. They couldn't. It was a bad situation. The teams that he wanted to go to weren't offering the 49ers what they wanted, and vice versa. There are two guys that I think are interesting. And they're both injured right now, Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw. They're both free agents at the end of the season. They both might not be able to find, you know, what they're after on the free agent market. I'm sure they've already, you know, their agents, if they're doing their job, have already begun to sort of test that out a little bit. And I just wonder whether both of those guys could be back. Maybe it's on one-year deals or, you know, short-term deals, things like that. You know, they play a full season healthy on a good team, presumably, and all of a sudden their markets are a little bit better. So my point being that, they might have more talent overall than possibly what we were thinking 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, let's see what Greenlaw, you know, when he comes back, if he comes back, what he looks like over whatever in the last three games of the season, last four games of the season, that could have a large, effect on what happens with him. But yeah, I don't think either one of them is going to get anywhere near even like a Warner deal or a Kittle deal, like just the magnitude deal where these guys must be signed. Like, they don't have that except for Brock Purdy. He's the only one. Aaron Banks, I don't know, the way that line blocked today, it's like you could lose him. I don't know that that's going to be.
They don't pay for guards usually. And I think that they drafted Pooney, and we talked about this. I think that they drafted Pooney as a left guard. They drafted Pooney thinking that, okay, in 25, he'll be ready to take over for Banks at left guard. And he had to play right guard, and has played right guard very well. One interesting thing about offensive line, John Feliciano's practice window closes on Monday, closes tomorrow. So, the 49ers have to make a decision on him, whether to activate him or shut him down for good. And Banks came out of this game with a concussion. I mean, it could be Feliciano at left guard in Buffalo this coming Sunday. So that's something to watch at the beginning of the week. And Feliciano's a free agent. Banks is a free agent. There's a lot of free agents there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They could use some draft picks on the offensive line. They got one this year. I think they could do two or three. We know that is not their history, but they could just do it. I mean, if they think they're good at it now, they got Pooney. Like, just feel that confident about it and go draft some offensive linemen. It doesn't matter if they're perfect fits for what you do. You just need the talent. I mean, I've said this over and over again. Pooney is the proof of it. You just go draft somebody and you go for talent. You don't go for these journeymen who you're patching it through, who are kind of sort of good enough. And maybe if you scheme it right and coach them up, those guys, when they fail terribly. The guys who are more talented, when they fail, they're just not that good. I don't know that you want the fail terribly part of this. The holding calls, the getting blown off the line, the no running room. I just don't know if that's what, the way this season should be interpreted. It's like, just do that again. Everything's fine. But yeah, as you say, there is talent here. First of all, do you think the season is over? Is in your mind, is it over?
Yeah. This had the feel and the smell of the last hurrah. I mean, there might be a win or two here. You know, the only thing that gives me pause is that nobody can pull away in this division. I mean, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals. You're watching the Rams Eagles right now. I don't have the score in front of me, but no matter what happens there, the 49ers are still going to be one game behind in the division, which it seems like they've been all season long. So,
Eagles are up on the Rams. Eagles are up the Rams, 27-14, Rams driving as we record this. So
they are mathematically still in it. The 49ers are. They are, emotionally.
And tiebreaker. But yeah, the tough schedule, they've got the Lions and the Bills on the schedule. Now, Lions are week 17, but I don't think they'll have clinched the number one by then, probably. So they might need to win that to clinch the number one seed. They're really good. So of their six remaining games, two of them are against potential Super Bowl teams. Maybe the two favorites, right? The Lions and the Bills. And the Bills is on a back another trip out east in the nighttime in Buffalo. That's going to be a brutal game. Then they've got games against teams that they've lost to, right? They've lost to the Rams. They lost to the Cardinals. Yeah. Like, this is, there's
they
no,
the Bears. They've got the Bears.
They got the Bears. Like, there's no obvious way for them to get through this unless they just get red hot. And I've kind of pitched maybe, Purdy's probably going to be ready. But if it's not, and then you've got Bosa and Trent with kind of these kind of persistent injuries, do you push them out there in Buffalo in a game you're probably not going to win anyway? Don't even put them on the plane out there like you didn't put them on the plane out to Green Bay, and just try to go 5-0 after this game. Just try to go win out and say, we'll get to 10-7, maybe, maybe not. But if you go in that Buffalo game and you get these guys re-injured on artificial turf and you know there will be more injuries, what's the point of that? I would be on the cautious side. I think Purdy's going to play, but he might get dinged up again. Who knows? I would hold back Bosa and Trent if there's any chance of them making it worse. That's what I would do.
We said, you and I said 2 weeks ago, that this team probably needs to go 5-2 in order to make the playoffs. they're blowing their two losses very early in this, which would make for a very dramatic end of the season. I'd love to write about it. But like I said earlier, the two guys that this team is relied on to be kind of the explosive guy that carries your team, in recent seasons, one Deebo Samuel, the other Christian McCaffrey, just not seeing it from those guys. They've been really absent these last 3 weeks. So that's a problem. Something you said earlier about, the draft. I mean, and I might be, this might be something I'm stealing from Tim Kawakami. It seems like a very easy solution, even if they lost Banks in free agency, which I think that they will, is that you move Pooney to left guard, which was your plan originally, and you draft a right tackle, and you slide Colton McKivitz to right guard. I think he'd be a really good right guard. He's not the greatest right tackle. So that would seem to, I mean, if they did that and they hit on that tackle, that arguably be their best offensive line in the Kyle Shanahan era.
That's my plan from last draft. That's right there. I mean, and they passed on a lot of tackles. Now, maybe they like Guyton. You know, there was one or two I think they liked that went ahead of them. I'm not sure. I don't think they liked all of them. But
and some of them have been bad this year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, the guy the Chiefs took in the second round, I don't think has been good. There's been some guy, whatever, you know, obviously not everybody who gets picked in the top 50 is good. But if you feel good about what you do and you have a higher pick and you're not as worried as, you know, having to take the third tackle instead of the, you know, the second one, but maybe you get that second tackle at the 14th pick. And then, yeah, move McKivitz to right guard, move Pooney to left guard. You know, I think they might need a new center, but sign somebody. You can, you know, you, there's always centers available. You got yourself a decent offensive line there. I should have written that today. There you go. I should have repeated myself. You're stealing from me that I want to steal back from you that just, you stole from me.
Just scratch off the 2023 date on it.
I have said I think they need to draft multiple offensive linemen. They're good at it now. Do it. Like, you know, it's before. It's like, we don't even like the guy. Like, if you're pretty good at it, just keep drafting him. It does not hurt. So maybe you miss on one fourth rounder. That's okay. But get another guy in the fourth round. They're going to get they're going to probably get two extra comp picks, I think, right, for Darnold and Charlie Werner. So like a fifth and a seventh. So,
yeah, they're not going to be great picks. Yeah.
You don't have your own fifth because you forfeited that with that cap thing, but you're going to get an extra third in the comp. So, like, they're going to have some picks. You can move around, get a couple offensive linemen. I think you could really invest in that and see some dividends. It's not what their philosophy is, but I just think they got Pooney there. You have some proof of doing it this way. Okay, that one.
And you're paying Brock Purdy, you know, presumably $60 million a year. You want to protect that. That asset, you can make a really good argument for two other positions, though. Defensive end, which they always seem to draft, and wide receiver. I mean,
another defensive end, another wide receiver. You never have to convince them to do that. Dude.
If you're looking at reasons why Brock Purdy has slipped a bit in all of his stats this year, a big one is that the receivers just not getting open. Yeah. Coming off an ACL, that there's no guarantee he's going to be back to 2020.
Last year's first round pick, Ricky Pearsall, to be good. You just need that. I don't think you can keep drafting wide receivers in the first round. I mean,
Shanahan.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah, draft well. Draft well because you did draft Ricky Pearsall. You've got Jacob Cowing. I just think you should have enough there. And maybe they keep Deebo Samuel. We've all speculated that maybe this is last year. Maybe they keep him. Hard to see on that one. Leonard Floyd, by the way, I know he's a free agent too, but two sacks, like that wasn't bad. This was, you know, they really needed that in the second half, and he provided, maybe not so much in the first half, but nobody was any good in the first half, as Shanahan said. He said nobody was good in the game, and he's probably right about that too. The second half was better, at least for the defense. The offense just kept turning it over. You know, I think it is time for them to start thinking about next season. I think it is time to say what structurally is good, what structurally needs help, where do they need fortifying. I think they've got to make a change on the special teams coach. I just can't imagine going back with Brian Schneider. And then we'll see about Nick Sorensen. I think those are the things on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm just looking up the Leonard Floyd numbers. He's got 6.5 sacks now, and he's you know, inching towards his usual 10 sacks, which a few weeks ago I thought was going to be impossible. My theory on this, and I'm going to try to check it out with Leonard Floyd today, is that that preseason game where they lost Floyd to what looked like a horrible knee injury mm-hmm. on one play and then lost Gross Matos on the next, you know, bothered him in the first half of the season. There were some games that he was playing something like, you know, 25 snaps a game, something very low. And I just wonder whether we were seeing the real Leonard Floyd early on because he did not look good. And, you know, one of the question marks the first half of the season is, okay, why did they go out and get this guy of all guys to be the bookend? But I think we're starting to see the real Leonard Floyd. And this is a guy, to his credit, who has played through injuries his whole career. I mean, it's pretty astounding all the 16, 17 game seasons he's had. And that may have kind of worked against him in a way early on. He's playing through an injury that was hindering him. But yeah, I'm going to sleuth that one out. It's going to be
It'd be interesting to see if they try to re-sign him, you know, and how, if he wants to be re-signed. They have not re-signed a lot of the guys at that position. And I don't know what they've got. You know, Yetur Gross-Matos does not feel like a guy that you can count on. You know, he's a depth guy. He's a quality depth guy, but he's a depth guy. He's not an edge rusher. You just bank on him, you know, getting 40 rushes a game. I don't see that. But I don't know who else. You know, Drake Jackson, who knows what he's going to do after missing two full seasons.
It's a 2-year deal for Floyd.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was a 1-year deal. Okay.
He signed. Here's my great idea for the 49ers defense. This is part of the Barrows offseason plan.
You're going to steal from me again? Steal from me?
No, this is an original. Okwuanu goes to Fort Lauderdale in the offseason and trains with the Boses, because Okwuanu is a novice. I mean, he only started playing football, you know, late in life, and really has not had the experience. He trains with the Bosa brothers, gets like the full Bosa experience, all the tips, and, you know, starts the 25 season as a legitimate starter. And it would help Nick out. He'd finally have the bookend that he's been missing since D Ford, what was it? Was it back in
2019? Yeah,
into the middle of 2019.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if you can quite put him in there as a Bosa brother, but hey, he's got some talent. I don't know if you could just have the Bosas touch somebody and then be great. I think there would be other great defensive ends out there, but we shall see. All right, Barros, I think that we've done it. 30 minutes on a not very good game, but pretty significant moment, I think, in the 49ers 2024 season, and maybe in the Shanahan Lynch era. Like, this is the deciding point from here on. Like, they either get better than this or things do not get, you know, slide off. And we're talking about a different era maybe at the end of 2025. They got to be better in 2025. I don't think they're going to make a move on them now. But if they can't turn this around, I'm a Shanahan and Lynch, you know, someone who thinks they've done a really good job. But if they do two seasons of this, I can't argue with saying that everything's fixed. But it's got to be two seasons. It can't be one season removed from the Super Bowl, would be my opinion. We can talk about that later. I don't want to get all in that. It would go way too long. But Barros, anything else?
Well, only to underscore what you were saying, that the 2025 season could be starting, in a sense, very soon. If you're starting to kind of, you know, hold some guys back and play some guys more, the focus shifts from this year to next.
There you go. All right. Everybody, that's the show for today. We will aim now. I don't know if we'll do one. We got that Thanksgiving in the middle of this. So maybe there'll be another show this week. Maybe there won't be. But then we'll do a hot and heavy one after the next game in Buffalo. So, and we'll have a little more time for that. Actually, we won't have time. It'll be a night game. So we'll figure something out, Barros. So I don't want to figure it out live on a podcast, but we'll do something. All right, everybody. Show for today.